deep within each one of us, we all long for the good life. I want to start by telling you a story about Julie's Uncle John and Auntie Ira. Now, they used to manage a supermarket. They owned it for a while, and they managed the supermarket where they come from. They did a really good job at managing the supermarket. So good, in fact, that they were able to sell the supermarket and go into full-time retirement in their early 50s. Where you'd find John and Ira now is travelling around in their camper ute and helping out their children where they can. See, for John and Ira, their goal in life is to enjoy it by travelling around one big holiday. Now, one day when John and Ira dropped in to see Julie and myself, they were telling us about where they'd been, places they'd seen, things they'd done. They'd been telling us how they were enjoying the life of retirement, the life of driving around all over the place. And they showed us their camper ute. And remember, they opened up the door to the camper ute. And as they opened up the door, there was a map on the door. And you look at this map, it was a map of Australia. They'd put marks all over this map. And I said, what's going on with all the marks over on this map? And I said, what we want to do is drive all over Australia and be able to cross off and say, yep, we've driven on that road. We've driven on that road. We've driven on that road. You see, John and Ira's goal in life was to travel around, enjoy life, and live what they consider to be a good life. And now we're friends on Facebook as well, and often you see they put up posts of places where they've been, and when I look at those posts, I become a little bit jealous. I get to think, yeah, that'd be pretty cool what they're doing, travelling around. For example, they might put up a post from the message stick, that's what he calls it, from the message stick in Cairns, Queensland, or from the message stick in Broome, Western Australia, or from the message stick in Burnie, Tasmania. They must be getting close to finishing off their map of Australia, because now you see them put up on their Facebook, from the message stick in England, from the message stick in Sweden or America. Now, when I look at that, I think, oh boy, that would be pretty cool to be able to go around to all these places. That'd be a good life, to be one big holiday. And I think to myself, yeah, I'd like to do that. I'd be able to get away from the monotony of life here, the boredom, the struggles that we face daily as we live our lives. Just to be able to get away on one big holiday would be pretty cool. Now, when I see other people put up posts on Facebook as well, I think, yeah, that'd be pretty good to go there. I'd like to do that. Now, I'm sure that you've probably never thought that at all, but maybe you've thought about different things that would give you a good life, different things that would help you enjoy life, have what is good. The other day, I was reading an article, and in this article, it started off by saying, most Australians dream of getting ahead in life. Then it gave a list of what getting ahead looks like. It said, not having to do assignments. That'd be pretty good. I got a few nods over there. Not having to worry about bills. Being able to go to the shops and buying things without having to worry about the next credit card bill. Getting that new car or boat that you've always had your eye on. Finally paying off the home and being free of a mortgage forever. Going to an overseas holiday that you've been putting off for years. Having the option of quitting your job to pursue something that you love, or being able to help friends and family out. I'm sure as we look at those lists, you think, yeah, that'd be pretty good. I'd be pretty happy if I got to do some of those things. Like, seriously, who doesn't like handing in an assignment and hoping that's the last time you have to hand in that assignment? Who doesn't like being financially secure? If you're a husband, if you're a bloke, you don't have to worry about your wife when she says, I'm going to the shops to buy something. Or if you're a wife, you don't have to worry about your husband when he says, just dropping down to Bunnings. Who doesn't like being financially secure? Who doesn't like going on holidays? Who doesn't like going overseas or somewhere to some nice location and enjoying a time of relaxation and rest? See, these are good things and they can help us enjoy life. And who doesn't want to have a good life? See, deep within ourselves, we all long for the good life. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason why we long for the good life. It's because God has created each one of us to enjoy the good life. That's why God created us. You and I were created to find fulfillment in Him and to enjoy the creation that He's given us. See, why is it that we love a beautiful sunset? Well, it's because God's given us eyes to marvel at the beauty of his creation. Why is it that you salivate when you go into a bakery? Well, it's because God's given us taste buds to enjoy food. Why is it that strangely we feel good after doing hard exercises? Or maybe it's because you just worked off what you ate at the bakery. Maybe. But God's also designed our bodies to work in such a way that we enjoy it. We feel good after hard exercise. I remember when we were at college, one of our lecturers, at the end of his lecture, he was talking about creation. He'd get there and tell everyone, what I want you to do, I want you to go outside, I want you to lie down in the Sir Walter Buffalo grass and just feel it. Feel the texture. Look at the colour. Enjoy God's creativity. Enjoy it. See, he wanted us to be blown away by how creative God is, by how good God is for giving us a creation to enjoy. And he's given us a creation to enjoy. You and I, we were created by God to enjoy the good life. But something's gone wrong, hasn't it? Something's gone wrong. Often we do these things and we might enjoy it for a period, but that's it. They don't provide ultimate security. They don't provide ultimate fulfillment. See, you can be the best batsman in the world and still feel like you have to cheat to prove yourselves. Something's gone wrong. See, God tells us what's gone wrong. He doesn't leave us in the dark. He tells us this is what's gone wrong. He says sin came into the world. See, what you and I have mistakenly done, is we've looked for fulfillment in anything and anyone else except God. See, the Bible calls this idolatry, spiritual idolatry. When we look for fulfillment in anything else other than God. See, when we look for fulfillment in good things like holidays, homes, relationships, education, family. When we think that our life will be satisfied if we look like that model on TV. When we seek fulfillment in those things, we're looking in the wrong place. We're not looking to God to be the one who we find fulfillment in. See, every time as advertisement tells us that you'll find fulfillment if you have this product, if you do this thing, it's lying. Because you won't. You won't. You might enjoy it for a period, but you won't find ultimate fulfillment in it. The Rolling Stones, they're 100% right when they said, I can't get no satisfaction from advertisement, from products, from things in this world. We can't get any satisfaction. Take, for example, money. The other day I was listening to the radio. They were talking about James Packer. And as they were talking about James Packer, they were saying how he's had to stand down from being on the board of Crown Casino. Now, James Packer is one of the richest men in the world, a billionaire, buy whatever he wants, have whatever he wants. And the lady got there and said this line. She said, it's amazing that a man with so much money is still not satisfied. The lady nailed it. Money does not bring satisfaction. It cannot, has not, and will not bring satisfaction, eternal satisfaction for us. See, money doesn't lead to the good life. It leads to anxiety and stress and worry. But why? Well, Colin Buchanan nails why. He says in one of his songs, The Greatest Treasure, he says, you can live for happiness or live for stuff, but it's all going to fade away. But you never ever feel like you've got enough because it's all going to fade away. The trickiest toys that money can buy, they're all going to fade away. What if the world makes you a star, sports star, a celebrity, whatever it is? It's all going to fade away. The biggest house and the flashiest car, it's all going to fade away. Earthly treasures like the morning mist, well, they're all going to fade away. Colin nails it. It's exactly right. Why don't we find fulfillment in these things? Because they're all going to fade away. So, can we find satisfaction in this life? Or are we simply just chasing after the wind? Do we have a desire to live a good life, but is it always going to be just out of reach, not attainable? Is that the case? Well, over this term, Webb's been taking us through the Gospel of John, and he's been showing us again and again that Jesus is all about life. You see, in the Gospel of John, life is a big theme. It's a big thing. It's what Jesus is on about. In chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in Jesus was life. In chapter 3, verse 36, it says, whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. And then 6, verse 35, it says, I am, this is Jesus speaking, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. In chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I, that's Jesus, have come that you may have life and have it to the full. In chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And at the end of the Gospel, John says, this is why I've written it down, so you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. See, God's all about life. So is Jesus. Jesus is all about life. He is God. In Genesis chapter 1, what did God do? He breathed life into Adam and Eve. But because of sin, because of our idolatry, the good life that God intended for us, it's been taken away. It's been removed. We cannot find it. The Bible says that because we have looked to other things, because we've elevated the gift above the giver, we've all committed idolatry. We are all sinned. And because we put because we've done that, the Bible says we're all spiritually dead and destined for hell. But God is all about life. God is all about life. We know this because he sent Jesus into the world. So everyone who believes in him, who trusts, who relies, who looks to him for the good life, they can experience it now. It's now on offer. Jesus says in chapter 5, verse 24 of John, he says, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. It's happened now. If you trust in Jesus, you have crossed over from death to life. So if you're here today and you're trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've passed from death to life, which means that you can enjoy the good life now. The good life isn't pie in the sky while we wait. It's available for us now. See, if you're a Christian, if you're trusting Jesus as your Lord, then you have eternal security sealed. It's sealed. Your security isn't found in your house. It's not found in your superannuation. It's found in Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, who rose again, guaranteeing that we will be with God. See, in doing this, he guarantees that we are sealed, that we're safe, that we're secure. Of course, we're to make decisions about houses, where we live, if we buy, if we rent. But as we do that, we're to remember that it's not going to provide eternal security. One day that bricks and mortar and timber, it's going to fall down, it's going to be gone. But God has provided us with eternal security now. And he'll come and call us to be with him in the new creation. See, for Christians, if you've accepted Jesus as your King, then you're accepted by God. See, being accepted by God is not based on who you are and what you look like. It's not based on your image. See, when you accept Jesus as your King, your image becomes Christ. You're clothed with his perfection. You're robed in his righteousness. You're welcomed into his family. You're accepted as a child of God. See, no matter what size you are, no matter what you look like, if Jesus is your King and God looks at you, he sees Jesus' perfection. Isn't that liberating for those who struggle with image? You can enjoy the good life now. See, for Christians, if you trusted in Jesus as your substitute for your sins, then you're forgiven by God. The fears of God's right wrath for your sin has been removed because it was poured out on Jesus, who took our place, who bore our wrath when he died on the cross. See, if Jesus is your substitute, God's wrath is removed. But if you aren't trusting in Jesus, if he isn't your Lord, then you're not secure with God. The only thing that's certain is death and hell. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your King, then you aren't accepted by God. When the day of judgment comes, you won't be dressed in Jesus' perfection and you'll be told, leave, go, out of God's presence. See, if you aren't trusting in Jesus as your substitute, then God's wrath remains on you. So what must we do? What's the application? Well, if you're a Christian, you must continue to look to Jesus as the only means for eternal satisfaction. Continue to think about what it means to have passed over from death to life. Talk with one another about how it changes the way you live now, knowing that you have the good life now, knowing that you are right with God, that you get to live with Him. How does it impact the way you live? How does it impact the way decisions you make? See, for Christians, it's easy to get carried away and think, yeah, if I just had this, if I could just do this, yep, my life would be good. They'll pass away, they'll fade away, but not Jesus. He promised eternal life, the good life now. We can experience it. And often we need to remind each other of that. It's like, yeah, these things are good. Houses, good. Clothing, good. Image, good. But not eternal. They'll pass away. The good life ultimately is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. That's why we meet together, to remind each other that what Jesus did for us, that provides the good life for us. Now, if you're not a Christian, it's great to have you here. It's great to have you here thinking about who Jesus is. But this is what you must do. Flee to Jesus. Trust Him. Trust Him. Look to Him. Accept Him as your Lord, as your King, as your substitute. Flee to Jesus. But maybe you're not ready for that. Keep on coming along to church. Meet up with a Christian. Say, I want to read the Bible. I want to check out who Jesus is more. I want to see what He demands of me if I follow Him as my King. Keep on thinking about who He is. But what mustn't we do? We mustn't think that the world can provide our true satisfaction, our true eternal desires. See, the good life, we can enjoy life in this world, but it's not found in this world. We look forward to a new world. Some people might have heard the saying where they say, Christians, they're too heavenly minded to be of any earthly use. I think we're too earthly minded to have been of any heavenly use. We think too much about the here and now. Well, we need to remember, that's right, our eternal security is sure for us. We're living for the day when we get to be with God. That should change the way we live. What Jesus did when He died on the cross, when He rose again, that must change the way we live. It must change our perspective on life. It must make us look to Him and find our fulfillment in Him. See, we all long for the good life. Have you found it? We all long for true satisfaction. Has Jesus found you?